Okay, let's start with the definition of terrorism.
There is a broad definition which deals with the psychological impact of anything designed for either for political or economic gain that we fit a lot of things in. But we try not to look at definitions. We try to look at the act and what is the impact upon the, in this case, the U.S. public, whether U.S. interests here or abroad.
John S. Pistoli, Deputy Assistant Director for Counterterrorism from the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
The 19 hijackers broke virtually no laws while they were here in the U.S., so we can't look at it from a criminal investigative standpoint to say, okay, what laws did they break? We have to look at it from an intelligence perspective to say, what is the big scheme here, and how are they going about that, even if they're not breaking any law?
Basically now, the way it works with the FBI is that you don't have to do anything illegal to wind up in their database. And the definition of terrorism could be broad enough to possibly include your latest anti-war demonstration. But you certainly don't have to be declared a terrorist nor do anything illegal to wind up in some database somewhere. Just suppose that the camera that shot your driver's license has the capability to use photo recognition technology, as does your telemachine, that hallway cam in the corporate lobby, and street-mounted cameras, and that all that data is constantly being filtered, compared, and examined, looking for patterns. Dave Budd works for the EMC Corporation on biometric surveillance, the emerging science of computer-aided recognition of people, not only from their fingerprints, but iris scans, body mass, facial recognition, even their gait while walking.
The one thing that we are working on for Homeland Security is a surveillance and analysis model that takes video and it takes access control, like your badge swipe, pulls it together, and I can actually do different feeds of that. I can do analysis against it, and I can archive that if I need to.
And what would that be used for?
It could be used for virtually any type of surveillance, casinos, airport, ports, retail. For example, let's say I walk into a building with a briefcase and I set it down and I move away from it. That would be considered a separation of object, and I could actually flag that as an event. As the newer technologies like facial recognition come to be, they can be plug-ins.
How does that work?
Facial recognition is really not 100% there today. You really have to have a really good image, and I've got to have a really good camera angle, and I've got to have really good light. There are a lot of things you could do to fool facial recognition. As the technology gets better, that'll change. But in a model where I could guarantee the lighting and the camera, then it might be applicable. But that's probably not that far off either. I mean, the way technology is moving forward is you're probably looking at significant enhancements in facial recognition in probably the next 3 to 4 months.
Oh, well, that's pretty soon. And where do you think it'll be introduced?
It's hard to say. A lot of it's not technological. It's legal.
Right.
You know, what am I going to be allowed to store in the way of a public's image? I mean, can I store just events? Can I store everything?
There's no bigger guru for Homeland Security than John Chambers, President and CEO of Cisco Systems and President of the National Infrastructure Advisory Council. Chambers appeared 20 feet tall on two giant video screens projected live before 600 federal and corporate executives involved in security. He showed a video on how the government and business working together allowed the police to respond in a much more effective way. In his example, a squad car speeding to a bank alarm is able to call up on their patrol car computer screen images from the bank camera. Chambers talks about the significance of this technology.
In each of those police cars that you saw rolling on the situation, it isn't just the camera in the car, but they're beginning to equip the police officer with a camera on their shoulder as well as the audio capability. So that if you were looking from a security perspective at a potential suspect and you stop a car, you're able to get a picture of that person. You're then able, if you set up your databases right between the court system, the correctional systems, the immigration systems, and others, to be able to do correlations which could never occur as quickly. You have the capability to share the public network if they wanted to put these wireless cameras around the city.
I looked around at the room and saw quite a few jaws drop. Rick Dawson is president of the Information Technology Industry Council, ITI, which is an association that represents leading information technology companies. Members include IBM, Intel, Cisco, Microsoft, Gateway, Dell, Compaq, HP, and 3Com, just to name a few. Dawson explains the standardization of biometric data and the national identity card.
The American people need to know that we're collecting a lot of information, and we're going to share it in a way that enables us to do the job that you expect us to do, that we're going to use the best information technologies available to not only ensure that information flows freely at the federal level, but flows from this data bank of information to local law enforcement officials. The private sector is taking the lead, working in extremely close participation and cooperation under the guiding hand of government. At ITI, my organization, we're very excited about this program. Biometric data formats for finger, facial, iris, and signature recognition. One technical committee deals with the development of national and international standards for identification cards.
As I wandered the exhibition floor, there was a gaggle of people watching this very slick spy thriller video from NiceTrack, an Israeli-based company. It seemed that their technology could just about tap into any cell phone, fax machine, or computer.
Yeah. Hello, me, Russ.
When a suspect uses his phone, he is under constant surveillance. A system operator can monitor his activity and compose synopses or transcriptions of his telephone calls.
The Executive Connect is a powerful operational tool for conducting special activities such as covert surveillance. NiceTrack allows monitoring of a wide range of communications protocols, including Group 3 and various non-standard fax protocols. As the use of cellular technology is constantly widening, law enforcement agencies and security organizations genuinely need to effectively monitor this communication medium. NiceTrack fully answers this requirement. In addition, the system offers usage of GIS data in order to conduct real-time or offline surveillance of a target's movements. This way, authorities may have a wider intelligence outlook and gain better insight into a target's behavior pattern. Hostile elements extensively use computer communications for their purposes. In order to deal with this menace, NiceTrack offers a unique and comprehensive solution for monitoring various sorts of computer communications, such as emails, voice over IP, chat, and instant messaging.
It used to be pretty much impossible to save all that data. No longer, as Paul Bach of Striver Corporation explains.
You know, we're talking about gigabytes, we're talking about terabytes, and petabytes aren't very far down the road. Now, there's an interesting aspect about this growth. Why did we start saving more and more data? Well, there's lots of reasons, one of which is disk space has gotten very inexpensive. And if we've got the space, we're going to take advantage of it. We're going to store more and more. Sometimes what we're storing isn't critical, but yet we're going to store it, and we still have to sift through it in order to get to the data that is critical.
So now you have all this data stored in all sorts of computer systems scattered around various agencies. The Virginia-based HHH Corporation has figured out a way of bringing it all together.
I'm going to take you through a prototype implementation that we've done for one of our clients, namely the Homeland Security. The Homeland Security, today, they're looking to merge 22 different agencies together. They're also looking to be able to share information among those 22 different agencies or limit the access portion to certain agencies or certain groups or certain users. So really the idea behind the framework is it gives you the ability to access that information from a central source, basically. You can access it remotely via the web. Mm. For the Homeland Security, they want to, let's take for example, today they want to create intelligence profiles or watch lists or anything like that. So the core business element for the Homeland Security would be the individual social security number or the individual himself or herself. So we created the framework itself in a way where as soon as you go in and type in, let's say, a name or a social security number, it automatically goes out to the different disparate sources, be it within the FBI, within the CIA, within the NSA, within any types of intelligence or other agency community that contains information about that particular individual. And really the idea here was centralizing the information.
Pulling the needle out of the haystack might be accomplished with a product from Lockheed Martin, as Steve Carlton explains.
We're displaying an integrated knowledge system that supports the gathering of text, video, audio, imagery together in one data store so that the interested party can access the parts of all that data they're most interested in to get the answers they want. It helps them scan a lot of data quickly and pull out the nuggets that matter to them. You would have Osama bin Laden and terrorism occur thousands of times in these documents, right? They occur all the time. Not a lot of information there. But if you go down to the bottom level, you might find Osama bin Laden related to Jane Doe, right? A little-known fact that came up in some little-known document. Now this person looking for that kind of relationship information would find that and say, okay, what can I do with that? What do I know about Jane? What do I know about Osama? And can I now further my investigation or my analysis based on that little bit of information?
Forget about 7 degrees of separation. This can do many multiples of that, and since we all know a Jane Doe and a John Smith, it would seem that we are all associates of Osama bin Laden. Though I'm sure if you ran the nexus, the Bush family might almost be relatives. Just to show you how small the world is getting, let's hear from Mark Charles Ginsburg, who is Managing Director and CEO of North Star Equity Group, one of the sponsors of the Homeland and Global Security Summit. North Star is a technology venture funding company specializing now in homeland security investment. Ginsburg, if he had his way, and most likely he will turn everyone else's terrorist into our own.
The global war on terrorism and homeland security are intertwined. Homeland security begins abroad. The bus attack that took the lives of innocent Israelis today in Haifa occurred because the Israelis were unable to stop that terrorist bomber from getting on that bus instead of killing him in his home before he was able to strap that dynamite around his body.
This all sounds to me like some kind of very slippery slope we're all tumbling down, and I doubt that we will know it until it's too late.